Gee. I told everybody in this church has a right to serve at their own free will, except for LG. LG, we tell it, we're like, hey, man, we need you to do this. I don't want to do that. Well, I wasn't really asking if you wanted to. What I'm telling you is we need you to do it. You know, we need you to do it. And I'm so glad that you're all here. Welcome to Christ Community Church. If you've never been here before, we're just glad that you're here. That's it. No hard sell, no weird stuff. We keep the snakes until Wednesday service, you know, all that, so you're good. I'm kidding. We don't do that there, you know. But the point is, we're glad that you're here. Everybody comes into this building with different things on their mind, different things on their heart that they're thinking about, they're worrying about, they're meditating on, whatever it is. What I'm going to ask of you, the thing I'm going to ask of everybody, let those things go. They'll be there for you to pick them up in an hour. The world won't stop running because you're not worrying about it. Your life won't stop because you're not worried about it. But if you would stop and listen to what God has to say through His Word, it might be something that helps you in everything else. So just stop. Stop what you're thinking on. Stop what you're doing and just be present. Sometimes that's the hardest thing, is just be present here. Okay? We're going to sing praises to God. If you know them, sing them. They're not the performers. We're not the audience. They're leading. You're the choir. God's the audience. Okay? Take this opportunity to sing like a choir before God to give Him praise, because He's worthy of it. All right? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for loving us. Thank You for this time. And Father, I pray that I will be able to meet this challenge of letting go of the things that are outside of here, that I might be able to preach Your Word, that I might hear what's preached, that You would do a work in my life. And I pray that for all my friends, all my brothers and sisters, everyone in attendance here today, that You would help us to let go of distracting thoughts and worries, to be present 1 hour here with You right now. Lord, we love You, and we give You all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be.
all the time. All the time.
Every hour I need.
Wow. I hope you heard that. I hope you were able to say, all right, I stopped all the distracting thoughts of what's out there, and I was present here, and I hope you made that worship service that time. I hope you lifted your hearts up to God, but I hope you heard some of the lessons in there too. It's just pretty awesome. All right, 90s class, are we ready? Ready, break. Watch the, they broke a little slow. I wasn't necessarily talking about you there, Sally. There we go, here we are. We're going to be in the Gospel of Mark. If you brought your Bible with you, it's going to be Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 13. We're in a series going through the Gospel of Mark. The point of going through this series is to talk more and more about Jesus Christ. That's why we decided to go through the Gospel. Gospels are specific pieces of literature that show the life and the teaching and the suffering and the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. They tell the story of Jesus. This sermon that we're going to preach, I didn't title it. It's just the series title, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God's name of the series title. But if I was going to title this message, I might have stole one of the song titles that we had today, and that would have been Above All. When we think about Jesus Christ, we think about Him being above all. And this passage that we're going to look at in the Gospel of Mark shows Jesus being literally above all, standing above everyone and everything. And He gives His disciples, a few of His disciples, an insight into His really, truly who He is, the glorious Son of God. And through the Word of God, we get to have that same experience. So I hope today that some folks will have what we call a come to Jesus meeting. That usually has a bad connotation, like a tough connotation. But maybe you don't need a tough confrontation. Maybe you just need a come to Jesus meeting. We also use this other phrase called mountaintop experiences. You know, and that has the good connotation. Now, Jesus is involved in both. I hope we have some of those here today. Mountaintop experience, a come to Jesus meeting. Let me tell you the idea of them. It's not to get us into some place. It's to reveal something to us about where Jesus is, who He is, and to enthrall our hearts with Him to where we say, yeah, I'm desperate for Him. Man, that's who I need. I don't have any defense except for Jesus Christ loves me. I don't have any righteousness of my own. My righteousness is that Jesus Christ loves me and that He is above all. That's what we're going to talk about today. Let me read this passage and then we'll go ahead and I'll go ahead and preach through it. Would that be all right? We can agree to that. I'll preach and y'all be preached at. Thank you for your consideration. Here's the word. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves. And He was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came over and shadowed over them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. Now, as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. Then they asked him, saying, Why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And he answered and he told them, Indeed, Elijah is coming first and restores all things. And how is it written concerning the Son of Man? That he must suffer many things and be treated with contempt. But I say to you that Elijah has also come, and they did to him whatever they wished, as it is written of him. Let's pray. Lord, help us take this passage of your word, the word that you gave us that we might experience the things that we weren't there to see physically, but we may experience them through your word. Would you show us, Lord, Would you teach us? Would you help us to be hearers today? Maybe some of us need to be told, hear the Son of God. Listen to what the Word says. Would you communicate that to us? Would you slow us down? Maybe knock us down? Shut us up that we might hear what you have to say? Help us to hear you, Lord. And we love you. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to have these mountaintop experiences where we get all the woo-hoos and the people call them God pimples instead of goose pimples. I don't know if that's blasphemy or not, but I don't know that I would say it, you know, all the time. You know, but people want to have these experiences with God that are like no other. You know, we can say, I've been to the mountaintop. There was a preacher who said that, and he had a dream, and it was a good dream. But I'm going to tell you something. We're not destined to live on mountaintop experiences. And there's some things we need to know about mountaintop experiences before we go any further. Jesus is the one who initiates these things. Jesus is the one who gets to choose how he reveals himself, to whom he reveals himself, and the, you know, all those things. He gets to choose the time, the place, the content of these meetings. Y'all, people outside of Christianity, people outside of the church have noticed something about us by and large, and that is we will try to make spiritual things happen in our own strength. We will try to counterfeit spiritual experiences. We will try to and labor to make something real special, even if sometimes it's not. Let me tell y'all something. We don't ever got to fake it with Jesus. We don't ever have to pretend. If you didn't hear it, you didn't hear it. But don't give up. He still speaks. His word is living and powerful. Don't make things up. Jesus doesn't need our phony PR. Jesus needs to see, the world needs to see people who've been with Jesus. And Jesus knows how to get with you and me. You might say, well, it's been a long time or it's never happened with me. Well, you just keep on praying. Keep on waiting. Wait on the Lord. The Bible says those who wait on the Lord, what does it say? Somebody knows what it says. It says they get really wore out and they get tired and then all of a sudden they're like, man, I've been waiting. Well, look, just keep waiting. He's worth waiting for. But don't counterfeit something. Jesus doesn't need our phony religious stuff. He needs people who know him to shine amongst the people who don't know him yet. And that's how he gets glory to himself. It's a pretty awesome thing. Let's look at some of the things Jesus did here. First, Jesus chose the timing. We get a timing note in this passage of Scripture. Now after 6 days, there are 6 days that pass, and Jesus decides he's going to take a certain group. Jesus chose the group. It wasn't all his disciples. It wasn't the multitudes. It was Peter, James, and John. He decided the time. He decided the group. And then he took them up on a high mountain. He decided the place. And then he decided the content of their meeting. The content of their meeting was that he was transfigured before them. He was revealed, really, as the Lord of glory. In Psalm 24, there's a question that's repeated. Who is this Lord of glory? Who is the Lord of glory? Lift up your, O gates, lift up your heads. Behold, the Lord of glory is coming. And who is this Lord of glory? Oh, this the content of Jesus' meeting with these disciples reveals as good as anywhere else in Scripture who the Lord of glory is. Because when he was transfigured, when he was revealed to them, he was glorious.